Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. I'm excited for this interview. It's a unique one. I don't know if we've ever actually had someone call into the show who was on the run. So joining us now is a financial broker from Sweden who's now living in the United States, from what I understand, an undisclosed location for his own safety, seeking asylum here in the United States. He has made some pretty big claims in Sweden, which brought him here. And joining us now is Victor Karlstrom. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I do appreciate the time. It's quite an interesting story. And when I Googled your name, I saw some of the different financial websites that have posted some of the different things you have claimed in Sweden. So I'm hoping that you might be able to go back from the start and explain to the audience here what exactly is going on, what you found, and the claims that you've made.
It's been an ongoing for 5 years now, and it's been a couple of verdicts over the years. And then this year it's been two verdicts. But to go back, I have disclosed the biggest money laundering crime in history and financial fraud involving Sweden. Is just one part, but most of the countries involved is, you have pretty much everything from the most dangerous Russian oligarchs to the former prime minister in Turkey to former Russian ministers. So it's you have pretty much everything in the case. So,
wow.
But Sweden was used because Sweden had a so good reputation. So I used to say in the calmest water, the most dangerous fish swims.
Well, you said there's different Swedish government agencies that were included in all of these activities, but there's other countries you're saying are involved. And is it right to say that you put a dollar figure to this, the amount of money laundering and the scheme that was going on?
The amounts are like it's almost too high amounts to count, but only Swedbank Estonia had 150 billion US dollar in suspicious transactions. So,
wow.
So it's a very large amount. But it's been a very tough road because it started 5 years ago. So it's been five very hard years. And I'm very thankful here.
It
means the world for me.
Yeah, in Sweden, you were a financial broker. So how did you stumble upon this information, and what kind of evidence did you come forward with as a whistleblower to present and show that this was going on?
I was in the top of the financial industry for 15 years, and I did business with all leading banks in Luxembourg, Switzerland, around Europe, Asia, and even in the U.S., in 2013, I was assigned on a very good deal with the biggest financial company in Sweden called Folksam. They have pretty much 50% of all Sweden's population as clients. So I started to work for them with my companies, and I became the biggest provider of cash on a monthly basis to them. And also I was getting access to all systems in Folksam. Mm-hmm. And when I was getting so enormous amount of new clients, clients starting to ask too much uncomfortable questions, for example. And then they told me to decrease all my and stop bringing in new clients, pretty much. So then I was started to understand that something is wrong here. And that's sort of how it started. But then I was fighting this in Europe for 4 years against all these authorities. I spent millions on the best lawyer firms. And it's hard to, I would say I'm the perfect example of that. It's impossible to beat a corrupt society. It's impossible.
Yeah, what surprises me, you mentioned the number $150 billion. So I had to look up Sweden's GDP, which is about $550 billion a year, according to Google here at least. That's a big chunk of their GDP if that money is coming through the country that way. So it would account for a lot of different federal agencies.
It was only with one branch in Baltic.
Wow.
Then you can imagine the whole operation but the good question is, why should U.S. care about this? That's a very good question. Why?
Okay.
And you can say that follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
When you buy on your credit card and the bank give you money for the mortgage or the credit card, where does the money came from?
Hmm.
And if you follow the money, you can see money in where in places like Pakistan, Afghanistan, Middle East, Russia, coming into Swedish banks in the big money laundering machine. And then they became clean money. Mm-hmm. And then these Swedish banks buy bonds from Bank of America, for example. Mm-hmm. But they buy a lot of bonds from Bank of America. And then they give the money to Bank of America, and Bank of America pay an interest rate to the banks in Sweden. And then Bank of America give out the money to U.S. citizens when they buy a house and when they buy on a credit card. So that's one angle, but it definitely is.
Yeah. So let me ask you about your current situation. And joining us here is a whistleblower out of Sweden, was a financial broker. Victor Karlstrom is joining us on KMOX. And are you being hunted by the government from Sweden? Like, who's actually looking for you right now, where you're here and you're seeking asylum in the United States and you're trying to flee from persecution because of the things that you brought up?
The tax agency in Sweden, the SEC, everybody chasing me. And that's why, to make a long story short, I was fighting corruption in Sweden and Europe for 4 years with the best lawyers and very heavy security. But in January 2019, the tax agency raided my office for like the 6 times in a year. And then they took all my documents and gave out no copies. So then I was sitting with my lawyers and they recommended me to get out of the country as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty much leaving my office. I had offices all across Sweden. I had houses, boats, everything, a family life. But I was picking up my wife and my two kids and was ordered a private jet to fly out to, because we need to leave Europe, because Europe have a system called SIS system. And if the police put you in this system, you can't fly out from Europe.
Mm.
So I ordered a private jet and was going to fly up to the north side of Cyprus, because it's the side where it's no European Union. But then we was not able to take off. So then I rented a car and I was driving down to Holland. It took me maybe 24 hours to drive to Holland. And then we were hiding there before, because we couldn't fly out, because if they had put us in the SIE system, my life was over. Then they could hold me in the custody for 5, 6, 4 years, and then they can fake a tax crime or whatever they want. They had all my documents without any copies. Well, so then we couldn't fly out from Europe. So it was very, very hard to hide in the Amsterdam in Holland for 10 days. We had the help from some Muslim people we met in Netherlands. So it, but then we managed to come to Dubai, to the Middle East, and they were very important from the lawyers in Sweden. I was going to need to reach to Dubai in United Arab Emirates because they have no extradition agreement with Europe.
Well, I want to talk about your journey here to the United States and what's happened since you've been here in the United States. Do you mind holding on after the break?
Yes, of course.
Victor Karlstrom's joining us. He's a financial broker from Sweden, and you're hearing the story of what's transpired over the last 5 years or so, going back into, 2013, 14, and then some. But 2019, finding himself under, constant threat from the government based on some of the different pieces of evidence he's brought up against money laundering and a few of the agencies there, finds himself here now in the United States at an undisclosed location where he is seeking asylum. And we're going to take a break and join and continue what has happened since he became, or at least got here in the United States. And our guest, Victor Karlstrom, will continue next on Overnight America KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Complex and fascinating story of a financial broker from Sweden over the past 5 years. A lot has transpired in his life, at first bringing up some accusations against firms and different governments of money laundering through Sweden banks and some of the agencies there, which would be the equivalent to the IRS and the SEC here in the United States. And right before the break, Victor Karlstrom was giving us the lowdown of how he was forced out of Sweden for his own protection and advice through his lawyers. And you find your way here to the United States, where now you're currently seeking asylum. Is that right?
Yes, correct. But we were reached Dubai in the United Arab Emirates first because they have no extradition agreement with Europe. So that's why my lawyers told me to go to United Arab Emirates and start building a case for the first month in United Arab Emirates. Yep.
Yeah. Why did you decide ultimately to come to the United States?
Because the first month was very. We met the human traffickers and was going to buy a new passport and start a new life in Saudi. That was the plan. And but then people tried to find us in Dubai and in United Arab Emirates. So we wasn't safe there anymore. That's why we, after 3 months in hiding in United Arab Emirates, took off to New York because they were on us all the time, so it was pretty much impossible to stay there. So, and it was very hard 3 months because I have had my two children, 5 and 6 years old, and United Arab Emirates is a country that is, there is like no police on the streets and no cops because they have surveillance all over the cities and everywhere. Mm-hmm. So when you hide there, you have to stay inside. Because if you go out in the malls, they see you very quickly.
Right.
So after like 3 months in hiding there, my son started to like hit himself, and my daughter became very depressed. And then it we took off to New York, and I started this asylum. So it was. But then they tried to kill my whole family in New York in the beginning of May 2019. Whoa. So
Let's talk about that because you talk about you move here to the United States and you come through New York, and right now you're at an undisclosed location for your own safety. We don't talk about where you're at. I have no idea where, but you were saying that they traveled and there were people that were traveling to find you, hunting you down. Who do you suspect is trying to do that to you right now?
No, we have proof who it is, it's people from Turkey, and it's other people too, but it's important because they have to kill me because this case is in federal court in Southern District of New York now, and it's been going on since December last year. And as my lawyers say, they can't let you go to jury because they will be convicted. So only because of me, the U.S. authorities can have access to all this dirty money.
Wow.
So if you take out me of the picture, there is no case. So wow. All these people need to, like, put me out of the picture, because otherwise...
Well, what happens? Like, is the rest of your life, are you going to have to live on the run? Or are you hoping that at some point the United States government steps in on your behalf, offers maybe some protection and asylum, and they move forward and help with this case to try to at least bring out the truth?
No, but we have very good relationship with the prosecutors, and we have good protection. So there is a very heavy protection, and... I have to say, I have very only good words to say about the LAPD and the NYPD. NYPD have helped me a lot over the last year, so it's I appreciate that very much. They asked me the same question actually, LAPD last time. What are you going to do after all this? And it's I don't know. I try to take it day by day.
Mm. So your family, the kids are starting to get older, and you see their mental issues with staying indoors all the time, which is something that everyone's facing right now when it comes to a COVID world. How is your family handling this now after moving to the United States?
My family is back in Europe in a safe place because after they tried to kill us in New York, that was the breaking point for my wife and for my children, and my son stopped talking, and he only like said he want to die when he was 5 years old, and my wife was complete. She broke apart. So they fly to back on in a safe house in Europe today where they are. So because it is too dangerous to be near me because they want to hurt me, but if they are with me, they're gonna be hurt too most likely. So that's why we have separate.
Yeah,
so
this is
a
very
this
is a very sensational story where there's a lot of detail and a lot that goes on. So what are you hoping to accomplish to come on to different radio programs or report into different newspapers? What are you hoping is accomplished to get your story out there?
What I want to accomplish is I want to tell my story and hopefully change corrupt systems, and also it is little like I have four lawyer firms in New York handle my case in federal court, and I noticed last year before we filed the case, if it ain't news, it never happened. It's what people say, so that's why I think the public opinion will be important also to my case, so that's why I have my advisors have told me to talk in radio and TV and do interviews.
So what happens next? Like, where is this sit right now in court?
Everything. We filed the complaint in December. Then we filed the amended complaint now in July, and they have answered on the first complaint and the second complaint. But then we added one more bank now in July, and we added Turkish companies connected to the Turkish government officials. So it's going to, we turn up the heat all the time.
Wow.
So you start on a pretty low level, and then you raise the stakes over the time. So it's going to be a very long case in court, maybe 3 to 5 years. So I have to try to stay alive. That's my only that's what I try to do.
Would you and everything that you've been through, would you do it all over again?
No. I would never even wish my worst enemy this life, because it is not a life. I live under heavy security. I have three bags, and they move me like every 4 or 5 days. I can't talk to my children. I haven't talked to them for 2 months, and I can't talk to pretty much anyone. So it is not a life. It's like living in a cage. So No, I would never do it again.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. And also
absolutely terrible.
But I start to get a burning desire to help other whistleblowers because they're lucky for me, I have a lot of money. If I didn't have all this money left, I couldn't come close to take this case to court and get justice. Because I have to pay for bodyguards, I have to pay for 4 lawyer firms, I have to pay for everything. And if I didn't have the money, I would never have a case. So I'm very interested to start working in a charity and help other whistleblowers.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you this mostly because for the sake of time, and normally at the end of interviews, I would ask the guest, you know, how can people find you, reach out to you? But this is a completely different situation. So the last question I'll have for you is, what do you want people to know that is going on with these different government agencies, the people that you blew the whistle on? What do you want them to know as a parting note?
I will keep fighting. The only way to stop me is to kill me. I will never stop, and they can't buy me out from this. But you can follow me. I have an Instagram account, Victor Carlson, where I try to upload some things from time to time. But it is a little tricky because in all pictures you have a trace location, so I have to post a couple of weeks later all the time.
Always behind, yeah. What's the Instagram account?
Victor Carlson, my name.
Gotcha.
And Carlson with C. So
right, that's something
that
people can look up.
And, wow. Yeah.
What a interesting story.
Also, can I say a last thing?
Sure.
What I try also to accomplish is help United States to make America great in the financial world again, because Europe, Asia have robbed the United States for the last decades because every bank and institution invest all money on the U.S. stock. Not all, but large amount of money in the U.S. stock market. Mm-hmm. Almost all transactions internationally is in U.S. dollars. And what does U.S. get back today? They get zero back. So they're getting ripped off, I will say. And it's so much money United States can make on an easy way to put in transactions taxes and high raise the withhold taxes. And so there is I'm here to stay for the rest of my life. So I want to help U.S. to make a lot of money in the financial world from this also. Because I was on the other side for 15 years, so I know all the tricks in the books.
Victor Carlstrom, this has been quite a fascinating last half hour. I'm so glad you decided to spend some time to tell your story, what you've been through, and what you're fighting for. Thank you for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you so much. Have a great day and night. Thank you.
You too. Wow, that may be one of the most unique individuals we've ever spoke to on the program. He joins us on the Quiver River Electric guest line on Overnight America KMOX.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Thanks again for hanging out with us on Overnight America. Yeah, that may be one of the most unique interviews that I have ever had not only here on KMOX and Overnight America, but ever. I mean, he's like the Edward Snowden of Sweden. Is Edward Snowden Swedish? No. Well, Snowden sounds like it, but that's we know the American whistleblower Edward Snowden traveled, and I forgot what countries he went to, but for a while there, they were looking. And same thing with Julian Assange. You talk about different whistleblowers, people that post documents to try to get the truth out there. He's like that for Sweden and trying to expose the things that he has evidence, he says he has evidence for, presenting this evidence to show that there is money laundering going on between governments, including Sweden, and now running and trying to stay safe and being hunted down wherever he may be. Quite a crazy, crazy, crazy story that almost sounds like out of like a spy thriller movie or a television show or a series like that. Talking about foreign interference, this is what I saw. I don't know if you saw this earlier out of YouTube. YouTube bans almost 2,600 Chinese channels for influence operations. Some of the channels posted content about racial justice protests in the United States. Big surprise. Didn't we see the exact same thing happen when it came to Russia? They would take out these Facebook ads, and they would basically try to pin people against each other using different protests. And for the longest time, remember, the fake Russian account for Black Lives Matter was larger than the actual organization's Facebook account. They garnered more people to pay attention to them, and they were organizing these things in order to try to strike up racial divisions among different people, including here in St. Louis. Yeah, that's right. They targeted Ferguson in this area when it came to these protest scenes trying to take advantage of the Michael Brown situation, and they were successful. A lot of people were duped. No surprise there. 2,600 Chinese channels from YouTube were taken off because they had, quote, coordinated influence operations, end quote, on the platform. Doesn't it sound exactly what we went through when it came to Russia just a couple of years back? And they even released all of those ads if you wanted to go back and look at it. There were an awful lot of ads, and basically their primary goal was just to cause divisiveness, the divisions here between people in the United States, and they were successful for doing so. Google said YouTube, which is owned, YouTube is owned by Google and Alphabet. I guess they kind of had a parent company. Also took down dozens of channels linked to Russia and Iran that were apparent ties to influence campaigns. That's no surprise, too. This is something that the tech companies have to take very seriously. After we saw Facebook and them accepting lots of money from Russia and not questioning that, give credit where credit is due. There was a hearing in the Senate back when Al Franken was involved and before he resigned for, touching women and stuff, the pictures that came out. So he grilled Facebook and the lawyers for Facebook and saying, how did you not know that these ads were coming from Russia when you accepted payment in rubles? How would you not know? And he was absolutely right. And we know that Facebook and these big tech companies are not always honest, nor do they play that they are. And by the way, they just had another round of testimony last week. And you know what it is? You get the heads of these companies up there and they say, oh, I'll look into it, as if they had no idea what people were going to talk to them about. Came with no answers, no understanding, just another smokescreen. And this is why you see government stepping in on these social media platforms. And the news that happened here in Thursday night, which is just within the last hour, I saw this breaking news come through on Fox Business. Trump signs executive order banning TikTok in 45 days. TikTok is the Chinese-owned company. It's an app that a lot of teens use. Mostly teens. If you get up past 20 and, they look at you a little weird, like, you're using TikTok. It's basically young teens that use this and, some hanger-oners, I guess, that are just interested in the idea of it. But you make these small videos and the idea is for you to collaborate with other people. So, again, I've never used TikTok, so I don't know the platform specifically, but my understanding is someone will put a video up, and then you do like a side-by-side reaction to that video, or you play off of that video or whatever it is. And then it's the idea is to collaborate or do something funny with it, or, remix it or whatever. So a lot of teens use this sort of thing. They do little dances or they do stupid challenges or pranks or whatever it is. And then other people come in and they, whatever. So we find out that this is a Chinese-owned company. No surprise there. That was pretty easy to find out. But then we find out that this app was getting a lot of information from its users here in the United States. I mean, a lot, and sending it back to China, and that became very concerning. And I don't know why it took so long. It says TikTok has denied that it stores data in China and maintains that the CCP has never requested data from the social media company. Like, we can believe that whatsoever. TikTok is a video sharing mobile application. Okay, let's go down. The CCP being the Chinese Communist Party. U.S. ban puts pressure on the China-based company to sell its app's U.S. platform. And Microsoft apparently is offering billions of dollars to purchase this thing because it's a widely, widely popular app that it seems to be integrated with all the teens. And all these tech companies, they want to get the younger audience. You know, Facebook's fun and all. It was fun, and they were really exciting back when they attracted, you know, under 30 and under 25, and that was the whole idea. Like, oh, we're going to get these kids on the college campuses. It's a young demographic. Everyone loves that. And now the average age of someone on Facebook is so old, anyone that's young looks at it and says, oh, Facebook's for the old people. that's for the grandpas, right? They want to be on the young platforms. They like the TikToks. They like the Instagrams, things like that. So that's a coveted platform because you're bringing in a coveted demographic, those that you could really market to are impressionable, and mine all the data you can mine from those people. Normally, they have less concern when it comes to their digital privacies, and there's a gold mine you can grab from these kids, and it needs to be very concerning. People need to be very concerned when that data is being mined for the likes of the Chinese Communist Party and used over there for their own whatever they decide to use it for. Very concerning. So Donald Trump makes good on the idea that he's going to ban TikTok. And right now the executive order says it's banned in the United States in 45 days. I guess something could change there and they could stop that ban. I don't know anyone listening right now that uses TikTok. You know, I would absolutely be shocked if any one person listening to this program right now actually uses TikTok. Why? Because, again, it's notorious for teenagers, not for anyone over the age of like 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 even. If you use TikTok, tell me why, because I don't understand it myself. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And I would make this claim, and I don't use the guaranteed claim all that much, but I would guarantee there's no one listening right now that is an active TikTok user. It just does not match any of the demographics we know about this radio show. I would be shocked. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
All right, so here we are. A couple of other stories about digital people. And yes, we received no phone calls of anyone that uses TikTok. Big surprise. Either that or they're too ashamed to admit that they use TikTok. It's so bad. I wouldn't even pretend to download it for the sake of trying to understand it because it would just feel weird to have it. And I just do not want to know that the whole intention of this is to collect data for China. You know, that's a big no-no too. It's hard enough. You get all these other tech companies that are trying to mine you for everything you got. Bad enough that you got to have one that's using it for the Chinese Communist Party, which is a real concern. All right, so I wanted to do two things. Number one, I saw this one YouTube twins, I guess. They post videos, and I tried to watch a couple of their videos, and they're very annoying, so I couldn't make it through one. They're Alan and Alex Stokes. They're pretty young. I think they're in their early 20s, 23 years old. They went through a prank. It was called Bank Robber Prank. How do you think that turned out, by the way? You know, you can't just go out and say, oh, it's a prank, y'all. No, don't be worried. It's just a prank. So here's what they did. Take a listen.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to another YouTube video. So I'm Alan. And I'm Alex. And you might be wondering why we're dressed like this. And it's because... And it's because we're doing a bank robber prank. So we have a lot of money right here. We're going to be running around in front of people and making it seem like we just got done robbing a bank.
Oh, ha ha ha. Yeah, I wonder how that went. So they have now been charged, facing felony and a misdemeanor for the results of a fake bank robbery prank, which they allegedly orchestrated at the end of last year in October. You can't really see the video anymore because they took it down, knowing that it's the subject of investigation. So during this thing, they basically put on black outfits with black ski masks. They ran out of a bank with duffel bags filled with cash. They tried to order an Uber and pretended to be bank robbers. The driver refused them And the driver was later confronted by police, thinking that he had something to do with this bank robbery when in the confusion. The police at the time issued a warning and explained that the inherent dangers of this behavior is pretty bad. 4 hours later, the two allegedly tried to do a similar stunt right away. So stupid. So the district attorney out in Orange County, California, said these were not pranks. These are crimes that have the result of someone getting seriously injured or even killed. Yeah, when you pull a prank that could result in someone getting hurt, then yeah, you could get in trouble for that. They got a warning. You know, they should have taken that warning and said, wow, I can't believe we got away with that. Maybe we won't do that again. Instead, they turned around and did it again. They absolutely knew the dangers. They knew the dangers of what could happen, and they decided to do it anyway. That's story number one. Got one other story here. This is weird, and I'm really going to apologize for what I'm about to play for you, because apparently there's a show on TLC. It's a series called Smothered. It's the extreme relationship between mothers and daughters. So maybe I just don't understand it. But there's... this is so weird. I really... The only way I can explain this is that the mother, in her 60s, I believe, I think she'll say how old she is here in the video, she's been doing this thing with her daughter to as a bonding. So apparently her daughter was adopted many years ago, and in order to, you know, show her that she loves her, they used to do this little dog thing, right? They used to, she used to go up to her daughter and do like a cute little, oh, I'm just going to pretend to be like a dog and, you know, I'll give you little licks on the face. So, yeah, there's that. Now the daughter's 21, and they still do it. And, oh, no, it's not weird or anything.
I'm 68 years young, and I'm Elena's mom. My relationship with her is unique. Hey, puppy.
Okay, so she says, hey, puppy, and then you can hear the licking that's going on. That... I watched the video, but just listening to strictly the audio is so much worse to hear this noise.
In the mornings, like, walk in her room and I just lick her all up.
Go sleep, bye.
Hi, Melena. I'm 21 years old. My mama is definitely my best friend. I love it when my mama licks me.
All right, I gotta stop here. So it shows the video. TLC has to replicate this. I don't exactly know what the comfort level of is for them to have a camera inside to show this sort of thing. But so the camera's inside this room, and it shows her in her bed, and it shows the mom coming in. It's dark, and she comes up and just starts licking her daughter's face. Okay, that's not normal. I love my kids, but I don't think I could do that. They say it's because they have a close relationship, and it's cute, and it reminds them about, you know, their bond, and it's nice that they have this bond, and, oh, man. I think if TLC ever contacts you and says, we want you to be on a show, you better realize and wake up real quick, like, oh, boy, so what's wrong? What am I not seeing? Because it's never good. Another hour coming up next of Overnight America, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.